everyone, how's it going? It's Eric Vasquez here, and it's time for another episode of the Pile Driver Podcast. This is episode 119. Again, my name is Eric Vasquez. I am the editor-in-chief of thewrestlingchronicle.com. That is the website that brings you this podcast. And like I said, this is episode 119. We do have a lot of stuff to cover, such as what's going on in the world of WWE, and also what's been going on after the Superstar Shakeup. Big deal in WWE at this time. It's when it's kind of like the draft. You get a couple guys that were only exclusive to Raw going to SmackDown and vice versa. So there was a big shakeup, as they said. So we'll be getting into that. Also some other stuff. So why don't we get started? All right. Starting with a little bit of news. Over the past like week and a half, a big story that's been going on in behind the scenes in wrestling is the status of Mauro Ranallo, who was the one of the commentators for WWE exclusively on SmackDown and 205 Live, but also did commentary work for the Cruiserweight Classic, and his sudden departure from the WWE and what role JBL had to play in maybe, I don't want to say making that happen, but let's just say he didn't make it easier for Mauro to get his job done, and subsequently may have played a part in Mauro actually taking an exit from WWE. You guys remember a couple months ago, or about a month and a half ago, there was a big snowstorm that kind of was detrimental to WWE in terms of the travel, although everyone seemed to have made it just fine to the taping. Or, matter of fact, the live event, one person that was absent is Mauro Ranallo. The first time they kind of blamed it on travel issues because of the snowstorm, and then he happened to miss the next week, and they said it was an illness, and that kind of carried on for the third week, and since then, we haven't heard anything as far as what's going on with Mauro Ranallo and his current relationship with WWE. Now, if you know Mauro Ranallo and you follow Mauro Ranallo, you know that he is someone that is very active on social media, Twitter especially. He does like to interact with people, which is pretty awesome. But he also is makes no bones about his mental state. You know, he suffers from bipolar and he's has depression. So, and the good thing about Mauro is that he uses his status and his platform, I guess you could say, with the WWE and having that reach with WWE fans, he uses that as a way to say, don't look at mental illness as a stigma, but look at it as something that we all need to maybe take a look at and help the people out there who have mental illness issues. You guys know personally, I've spoke about it many times on the show about how I deal with my mental issues. I have depression as well, so I know what that's like, what Mauro is going through. And how you can't really explain how, you know, one day you're fine, you're getting ready to do your job, and, you know, the next day it's incredibly hard to even just get out of bed and let alone do your job efficiently. Now, going back to the issue at hand, what played a part in sort of putting the spotlight on this issue, and more so JBL, was the release of former WWE ring announcer Justin Roberts' new book, where he details his time in WWE and how he went from a lifelong WWE fan to actually working for the WWE. And there's a part in his book where he talks about the backstage culture of WWE and how there is sort of a hazing culture, not only in WWE, but hazing, and as they call in the business, business terminology, ribbing, has been a part of wrestling for a very long time. Excuse me. For those that don't know what exactly ribbing is, it's basically pulling a prank on someone. It could be a harmless prank, something to get people to laugh. And sometimes it's been well known and well documented. You can look up stories where ribbing has kind of, let's just say in today's world, the ribbing that used to happen back then probably wouldn't fly this day and age. And one of those people who seem to have continued the culture of ribbing, hazing in professional wrestling is John Bradshaw Layfield, JBL. JBL is known, has been known to be sort of a bully backstage to the talent and kind of you know, using his size to, you know, his advantage, and literally tormenting people backstage when they don't do what he asks, if they somehow just get in his way, maybe ask a question that he deemed to be stupid, just simple things. And that's the way that JBL is. He likes to prey on the weak, let's just say. He zeroes in on you know, people, and he exploits them for any sort of weaknesses, and use that just to get a laugh for himself, which is kind of a jerk thing to do. And let's just say he kind of did that with Mauro Ranallo, and then he took a shot at Mauro Ranallo because he didn't make it, and he used the excuse that, you know, he couldn't make the live event because of travel, when it was really a mental health deal. And JBL kind of blasted Mauro when he really, really shouldn't have, when he really should have just kept his mouth shut and gone about his business. He decided to go ahead and blast Mauro Ranallo, and those two have had, I guess you could say, a rocky relationship. Not only since then, we don't know if they've ever gotten along. I'm not a backstage person, I'm not there, so I don't know. But it's pretty easy to say that maybe JBL's behavior didn't really work together with Mauro Ranallo. And ever since then, ever since he had the episode where his mental issues began to, you know, really affect the way he was working, we hadn't seen him since. And it looks like as though, as I mentioned before in other episodes, that Mauro Ranallo will not be returning to WWE, which is kind of sad. I was really happy to hear that Mauro Ranallo was going to be part of the WWE, because of the simple fact that he adds an element of realness to commentary, especially the WWE product. He's not shy in terms of calling the action as he sees it, and using his voice to tell a story within the commentary about the match that's going on. And that's something that's, you know, very few have been able to do successfully, and not a lot have been able to do ever since the departure of JR. So Mauro Ranallo really filled that gap where we could get decent commentary that told stories, that wasn't afraid to call the action the way they see it, and not afraid to call wrestling as it is wrestling. Mauro definitely filled that void. So it's definitely sad to see him go and no longer be a part of WWE. However, you know, anything in terms of a person's well-being, a person's health, is way more important than what they do professionally as an occupation. Like I said, I deal with mental issues all the time. I have depression myself. And like I said, some days it's not easy, but with the days that it's not easy are the toughest days. You really don't know how or what you can do to keep being active, and it's kind of hard when you try to be active, you try to be productive, but really, you can't bring yourself to even get out of bed. So I definitely sympathize with Mauro, and I'm glad to see that he's doing a lot better. The time apart that, you know, he was away from WWE was a little bit dark, because as I said earlier, Mauro is a very active member of social media, loves to interact with other people, and then abruptly, when he was going through his issues, we didn't hear anything from him. So obviously, a lot of people thought the worst, but I'm glad that's not the case now. It seems like Mauro Ranallo is getting a little bit better, and the thing with mental illness is that it never goes away. It only gets better some days, and some days are not so good. So anyone that's listening to this podcast, never be afraid to talk to someone if you're not feeling right, if you just need to vent, if you just need someone to listen to you, to try your best to explain what's going on with you. If you just need somebody to listen, you guys always know you can come to me. I can gladly be that ear for you. But just never be afraid to try to reach out to people, because there are people out there that do care for you. And so I know it's kind of rambling, but I just want to make it known that people with mental illnesses don't have it easy. Not that, you know, compared to everybody else has it easy, but it's really a battle within. You want to seek help, you just don't know how, and when you don't know, you get scared. So I'm happy that we have people like Mauro Ranallo, who is willing to use his platform to speak out and say, you don't have to be afraid to speak about your mental illnesses. It's okay. And I think that's pretty cool to see. Especially other people out there too, like AJ Lee, who just released a book about her mental illness, being bipolar and how that affected her and what she's doing to kind of combat that issue. I think it's great that there are people in the wrestling community that are willing to speak out. So if you are a part of the wrestling community, whether it be a fan, promoter, you know, referee, a talent, a worker, as they say, and if you deal with mental illness, never be afraid to speak about what your mental illness is and how you can deal with it, because you never know who's out there listening to you and how you can help them. So I would like to see more people speak out and kind of raise awareness to the mental illness issues that are going on, plaguing everyone, not just in wrestling. But it, like I said, Mauro seems to be doing a little bit better. He is going back to his roots. And he will be doing commentary for Showtime Boxing on the 22nd of April. They have a show in Barclays Center in Brooklyn. And he will be doing the commentary. And I say he's going back to his roots because that's where really Mauro got his name out there, was through his commentary for MMA and boxing as well. Combat sports in general. Mauro is well known and he's well liked. And it's good to see that he's not letting us back, you know, hold him back, you know. He's trying to get out there and do other things and keep himself active. So good for him. In terms of JBL, and I'm trying to stay professional, but it's hard for me to be professional with JBL. Obviously, with everything that's been going on and the amount of news it garnered, the battle between JBL and Mauro. JBL's demeanor on SmackDown was a little bit different last night. He wasn't really taking shots at anyone on commentary, wasn't really dragging anybody down. He was very tamed. I don't want to say that it's weird, but obviously we know the reason why. So I hope that maybe JBL can use this experience as an eye-opener and maybe see that mental illness is not something to be exposed and use for your personal enjoyment. It's quite the opposite. While even the slightest of things used to kind of trigger somebody's mental illness can be a very, very serious detriment. So I hope that JBL kind of looks in the mirror and looks at himself and looks at the situation, and hopefully he can make better decisions. Because of his actions and things that have been going on with him and Mauro, obviously the fans, who are very keen to everything that goes on behind the scenes, were not happy. So last night during SmackDown, there was many videos posted of the crowd chanting "Fire Bradshaw," and also a fan was ejected for a sign that said "JBL bullied me." He was actually kicked out of the arena. So let's just say that the fans know about what's going on, and it doesn't look like they're going to let up anytime soon. Who knows what action WWE is going to take, but it really puts them in a rock and hard place, obviously, because they do a lot of things with anti-bullying and Be a Star. But how can you really promote something like Be a Star when you have someone on your commentary team that forced someone to give up a very important job to them? They had to give it up because they were being tormented by another person. That's pretty sad to hear. So it's going to be interesting how JBL kind of plays this, and if he goes ahead and changes his ways. Yeah, but that's basically all I'll say about that. But shout out to Mauro Ranallo, who's a great guy. Like I said, he's very interactive on Twitter, so if you want to hit up Mauro Ranallo, you know, just maybe offer your support, maybe talk to him about any mental illness. I know he puts himself out there, so that's good to see, and I wish more people in wrestling would do the same. So make sure you follow Mauro Ranallo at Mauro Ranallo on Twitter. And a bit of happier news, depending on who you would say is the happiest about this news. It looks like our favorite WWE couple, no, not the Miz and Maurice, but actually Dean Ambrose and Renee Young, or actually I should say maybe Tumblr's favorite couple, Dean Ambrose and Renee Young, are actually married now. If you took a look at Talking Smack, which was the debut of a very important person. I don't want to give it away because it has to do something with the Superstar Shakeup. But one person was a guest on Talking Smack, and they decided to open up the show, offering congratulations to Renee Young, but she hadn't talked about it publicly, what was going on with her personal life, which is her choice, obviously, but she didn't really spill the beans publicly, and it was kind of an awkward situation between everyone on SmackDown, Talking Smack. Maybe it was just KO being funny, but turns out somebody did a little digging and found out that Dean Ambrose and Renee Young are happy. So I'm happy for them. I'm happy they're happy. I don't really know them personally, but hey, put out those good vibes. So I'm putting out good vibes to Dean Ambrose and Renee Young, because I'm definitely sure people on like Tumblr and those crazy fangirls are probably going nuts right now. Transitioning over to a little bit of independent wrestling news, looks like our favorite high flyer, Ricochet, is out with an injury. According to what people are saying, it's just minor nagging injuries, which is kind of expected when you're Ricochet and you spend more time in the air than you do on your feet. That sort of stuff tends to catch up with you, so it's just minor nagging injuries that kind of needs to be, it's kind of an indication that maybe he should take a little bit of time off to heal up. But in doing so, because of those nagging injuries, he is off the Lucha Forever show on April 17th. But he will be replaced by WWE United Kingdom Champion Tyler Bate. Now, this is interesting because he's on the show, but the show would be broadcasted live as an IPPV from Flow Slam. So, I don't know how Tyler Bate's contract really works out. Obviously, he's still a WWE guy. Obviously, he's going to be advertising the WWE UK title. So, is WWE going to give the permission for him to be shown on the stream? Or is it going to be considered sort of like a dark match? Tough to see, but obviously, go check out Lucha Forever. This is their debuting event on Flow Slam. So, and they're a great group of people. They got a great lineup for you guys. So definitely go ahead and check that out. But obviously cool to see Tyler Bate getting an opportunity. So that should be cool too. Another show that he's off of is Over the Top for out in Ireland. He is off that show and he will be replaced by Leo Rush. And it was supposed to be a part of a 6-man tag match. Leo Rush is taking his place and they will be taking on the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega. So that should be fun. And he's also being replaced by Leo Rush for the Rev Pro show coming up. A 6-man tag taking on the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega of the Elite. So sad to see that Ricochet had to miss those shows out in the UK. But I'm sure his health is more important and it's best to get him back into Ricochet shape so he can do what he does. So, well wishes out to Ricochet. Hopefully, he can get rested up soon, get healed up, and get back in the ring. A little bit of different news here. I was trying to do as much research as I can, but not really a lot to be told. And obviously, it's not anything that we talk about on the show in usual fashion, but I thought this was interesting. Kane will be running to be the mayor of Knox County, Tennessee. Which I thought was pretty cool to hear. Kane has been widely regarded as one of the smartest people in wrestling behind the scenes, which I know is kind of hard to imagine when you're a person like Kane who likes to set people on fire. I don't want to say the R word, okay? I don't want to say that dirty word, but forcibly impregnating a woman, aka Lita, is kind of interesting. I hope that doesn't come back to bite him in his mayoral race, but looks like he's going to be running for the mayor of Tennessee. And like I said, Kane is arguably one of the smartest men backstage. It's been talked about many times. I'm sure you can find something on the internet that talks about him being sort of the person people go to when they want to get their financials in order. Kane is very good with his money. I believe he runs a real estate business as well. I'm not too sure about that, but I'm pretty sure it's a real estate business. Either way, Kane is a very, very smart dude. Don't let the frame and the character of Kane, so I should say Glenn Jacobs rather. Glenn Jacobs, the person that plays Kane, is a very smart guy. So good luck to him in his race to be mayor of Knox County, Tennessee. again, I just thought that was really interesting. And obviously, there probably are some Kane fans out there. Probably won't be seeing him on TV a lot because this will be his main focus. So obviously, those are the news topics that I wanted to cover. Just to give you guys some news out there, kind of mix it up. Also, I forgot to mention about the Finn Balor injury. If you watched Monday Night Raw this past week, it was Finn Balor's first singles match since coming back from injury 8 months ago in August at SummerSlam. He had his singles match re-debut, I guess you could say, against Jinder Mahal. And they had a pretty decent match. Like, I know I've been saying, you know, I've been kind of throwing a little shade at Jinder Mahal, but you know what, to be honest with you, they put him in these positions, and so far, I don't want to say he's been great, but I mean, he hasn't been bad either, and we'll get into what's going on with Jinder a little bit later on the show, but unfortunately, there was a spot in the match where Jinder hit Finn Balor with a forearm. It was a clean shot, really got Finn good, and gave him a concussion, so that's not good. Now, there's no update as far as from what I've read so far. There's no update exactly how long Finn will be out, how long he will be sidelined, and what's the protocol for this concussion. Now, I know Finn just got back from his injury. Everyone's excited to see him, especially after his re-debut after WrestleMania. How exciting that was. And then this happens. It can be a very sort of debilitating, oh, not again with this guy, but, you know, hopefully it's nothing serious. I hope they don't rush him back, because obviously he is coming in with a lot of momentum, but this is big deal. These are concussions, these are people's brains, you know, these are people's health on the line. It's way more important than our entertainment, so hopefully they don't rush him back. Hopefully Finn can get the rest that he needs to heal and get back to doing what he does. So shout out to both him and Ricochet, recovering from injuries. Hope to see you guys back in the ring as soon as possible. So now, after that little news shakeup, let's get to the meat of the show, of today's show. And it's all about the superstar shakeup for the WWE. Now, what is the superstar shakeup? Think of it as almost like the draft, where stars you've seen on SmackDown exclusively will no longer be on SmackDown. They'll be on Raw and vice versa. It's kind of a new way to put a fresh spin on things, maybe ramp up the competition, give people dream matches they wanted to see but couldn't because of the brand split. Well, all those things change. So I'm going to break it down as best I can for you. Who went to Raw from SmackDown and who went to SmackDown from Raw. Some pretty big names on both sides that are definitely changing the landscape, as cliche as that sounds, definitely changes the landscape of WWE. So, obviously Monday Night Raw. Let's see who from SmackDown is joining the Monday Night Raw team. Debuting on commentary this Monday, we will see David Otunga taking the place of Byron Saxton. So David Otunga is making the switch from SmackDown Live to Raw, and Byron Saxton is making the transition from Raw to SmackDown Live. I really feel bad for Byron because he has to sit there with JBL. So, and that's one of the main things I wanted to see, because Corey Graves kind of is, he's what they call a heel commentator, and he likes to make jokes at Byron's expense. But I wouldn't say they were harmless jokes. They weren't the type of jokes that you see with such veracity, like they come from JBL. You really sense you get a sense of malice behind any joke that JBL spews at you or an insult. You really sense it came from a place of not so good. So I was worried for Byron, who seems to be an easy target on Raw. Now moving over to SmackDown with someone who obviously loves to torment and bully people. And as I said in the beginning, we didn't really get a lot of that. So I'm wondering if JBL was told to take a step back, or JBL took a step back on its own to really reevaluate the situation and hopefully change who he is as a person. One can only hope. But getting back to the superstar shakeup, another superstar joining Raw from SmackDown is Curt Hawkins, who was on Raw this past Monday night. and ended up getting knocked out by the Big Show. The very first person that was announced to be joining Raw for the Superstar Shakeup from SmackDown is Apollo Crews. So hopefully we get to see a little bit more of Apollo. Obviously his run in SmackDown was nothing memorable. He did have a sort of a little mini feud with Dolph Ziggler that could have done a lot of good stuff, but they kind of killed it before it can get going. I'm interested in seeing how the Raw brand will be using Apollo Crews, because he is definitely a talented individual. Another person joining the Raw team from SmackDown is Kalisto. The Lucha Dragon is going from SmackDown to Raw. I believe he's been out with an injury. He did perform at WrestleMania, but nothing serious. So again, as with all these people, I want to see if WWE is going to actually utilize them rather than just changing a name. A tag team changing brands from SmackDown to Raw is Heath Slater and Rhino, the very first SmackDown tag team champions. So they'll be joining a very interesting tag team division with the Hardys, Gallows and Anderson, you know, all those guys. So it's interesting to see what's going on with Heath Slater and Rhino. Now here's where we get into the bigger names that are going to be changing brands going from SmackDown to Raw. First, starting out with Mickie James. So that's going to be interesting as well, because then we get to see matches like Sasha Banks and Mickie James. Dana Brooke, maybe. I'm just throwing a name out there. She's kind of improved a little bit, so maybe she could be a name to look out for. So hopefully that could be something that'll come to light. Another name is Alexa Bliss, the former two-time SmackDown Women's Champion, is now going to be on Raw. So that's going to be cool. I'm really interested to see if maybe they do a Sasha Banks versus Alexa Bliss, or Bayley versus Alexa Bliss. Should be good stuff. Good to see there. We get our first and really only title change going from SmackDown to Raw is the Intercontinental Champion, Dean Ambrose, taking the Intercontinental Championship to Raw. So that's going to be fun. He got into a little bit of a spat with the second, I want to say, because this is kind of in an order of who's most important to least important. So I want to say the second and most important group to be joining Raw from SmackDown would happen to be the It Couple, The Miz and his wife, Maryse. So The Miz ends up opening Raw this past Monday, and then gets confronted by another new addition in Dean Ambrose. And that ends with Dean Ambrose giving the dirty deeds to Miz and leaving him in the ring. But obviously the biggest addition to Raw coming from SmackDown is the former WWE Champion, the Eater of Worlds, Bray Wyatt. Now he is still scheduled to have a match at WWE Payback versus Randy Orton in a House of Horrors match, whatever that is. Still no real details about that, none that I've seen. So, but they will still be competing for the WWE Championship at Payback. Now, this whole Superstar Shakeup thing really makes Payback a little weird. I don't know who's wrestling on the show. I think Kevin Owens and Chris Jericho are wrestling on the show, which is weird because Chris Jericho is a Raw guy, and this is supposed to be a SmackDown exclusive pay-per-view, or I think it's a Raw pay-per-view. Because then there's Austin Aries versus Neville for the Cruiserweight Championship. But I don't know. Alright, so I'm going to have to wait and see what the build-up is when matches start coming together. And then obviously we'll be doing a prediction show. And obviously a post-show for Payback. I know it's happening in 3 weeks. Who's going to be on the show and what brand they're representing? I don't know. So we'll see as that comes. But now joining SmackDown from the Raw side, starting from the bottom, obviously, as I said earlier, Byron Saxton is going from Raw to SmackDown. So, God bless Byron Saxton. Hopefully, JBL doesn't try to drive him to insanity anytime soon. Another name joining SmackDown is the returning Tamina Snuka, who is coming back from injury. Now, this was interesting because Shane McMahon was the one that was introducing a couple people from the Raw brand coming to SmackDown. And he built up this announcement. And everyone's thinking, you know, the next person to come out will be Charlotte, because Shane McMahon introduced this person as a second generation superstar, which Charlotte is. Her father was a Hall of Famer, which Charlotte, obviously, it's Ric Flair, hello. And all these other things, so obviously, everyone thought it was Charlotte, but it actually ended up being Tamina Snuka, which I think is a wonderful addition, and I'll explain that in just a second for our next segment. Joining the tag team division on SmackDown will be the Shining Stars. Now, I'm really excited about the Shining Stars joining SmackDown. I don't know if I've said this on the podcast or maybe on the website itself, but the Shining Stars are a very, very vastly underrated tag team. Obviously, they're family members, so that plays up. The gimmick of the sort of shiesty timeshare dudes doesn't really do anything, but it's what they do in the ring. They are great in the ring. They're a great tag team, a very cohesive tag team, which adds a lot of fun offense. I can't remember who they came in, and they came in on SmackDown and destroyed a tag team. I believe it was either the Usos or American Alpha, one of those two. They ended up jumping in the ring and attacking. So hopefully we get something with the Shining Stars, because I think if people really see these dudes, and they see these dudes often, almost as often as we see the next addition to SmackDown Live, people might get in on them. People might jump on their bandwagon. But as I said, there's been another person we've been seeing a lot more often than we're used to, jumping from Raw to SmackDown, is Jinder Mahal. Obviously, he's the guy that put Finn Balor on the shelf. But again, we've been seeing a lot of Jinder Mahal lately. So somebody, whether it be somebody in the back, creatively or otherwise, they see something in Jinder Mahal. Maybe it's his hard work because he's been transforming himself. And we did see him on SmackDown. He took on the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle winner, Mojo Rawley. And we also had another confrontation with Rob Gronkowski and Jinder Mahal. The action of the match kind of spilt outside. Jinder Mahal was talking crap to Rob Gronkowski, took his eye off the ball a little bit. Mojo Rawley retaliates, sending Mojo Rawley into the barricade where Rob Gronkowski is. Gronkowski grabs a beer and sort of pays him back for what Jinder Mahal did at WrestleMania and throws a beer on him. Very good stuff. But again, very interesting to see how much stock is in Jinder Mahal. But moving on, and this is where we get into the bigger names of who's going from Raw to SmackDown. First up, we got Sami Zayn. Now, Sami Zayn, obviously there's been a thing where I honestly thought they were going to keep him on Raw after the interaction that he had with Kurt Angle this past Monday. But obviously, they have different plans. Sami Zayn ended up on SmackDown, which is great for him because it obviously leaves the door open for endless possibilities. Endless different matches we can get, so that's pretty exciting. Joining SmackDown from Raw is also Rusev and Lana. Now, Rusev got the traditional introduction, being that it was a superstar shakeup, but we got a vignette for Lana, basically showing her doing a dancing number on the stage, and it said, Lana is coming soon. So I don't know if that means that she is going to be performing in the ring, or simply just being a valet for her husband. Obviously we've seen her in the ring before. We know that she does a lot of training, so maybe this is the time where WWE gives the green light and puts Lana in the ring, so that's going to be interesting. Now the biggest, I would say the biggest, maybe underrated in terms of this entire superstar shakeup, making the jump from Raw to SmackDown, is the New Day. That's right, the longest reigning WWE tag team champions in history will be going from Raw to SmackDown and joining that division, so that should be very interesting. And another big name coming is actually the one who is genetically superior. Charlotte Flair is also making the jump from Raw to SmackDown Live. And capping it off, possibly the biggest name, the biggest transition, the biggest change in the entire superstar shakeup, joining SmackDown Live from Raw, is the United States champion, Kevin Owens. That's right, Kevin Owens is going from Raw to SmackDown, and he's bringing the United States Championship with him. So it's very interesting how they've changed this whole dynamic with what's going on. It kind of puts a little bit of what's going on with Payback, sort of, you know, I don't want to say back burner, but it's kind of like, okay, we have the superstar shakeup, but what's going on with the upcoming pay-per-view? Nobody really knows. All right, which I thought was very interesting. But again, what what this has sort of transitioned into for SmackDown, as you saw, the main event for SmackDown Live last night, which was a very, very good main event, was AJ Styles, who will stay on SmackDown, Sami Zayn, and Baron Corbin going at it in a triple threat match, and the winner of that triple threat match was going on to become the number one contender for the United States Championship, whoever that is after Payback, whether it's Chris Jericho or Kevin Owens. The winner of that match ended up being AJ Styles, and I was very excited because not only was it a good match, we got to see Sami Zayn and AJ Styles have a little bit of a back and forth exchange, which is really, really good, but now there's a possibility we can get Kevin Owens versus AJ Styles. I mean, it's not the world title, but having a title on the line definitely adds to the match. You know, these two are going to go all out and give us at least a very, very good wrestling match. So obviously, I'm excited to see that. But that all depends on what happens at Payback, because Chris Jericho will be taking on Kevin Owens for the United States Championship in a WrestleMania rematch. So it all depends. Either way, if we get AJ Styles versus Chris Jericho, that'd be great too. But I'm really, really excited to see what kind of chemistry is between Kevin Owens and AJ Styles. Now, that's not all with the Superstar Shakeup. That takes us into our next segment of the show. It is the segment that has been taking up speed in, I'd say, what, this is the third week we've been doing it, and the past two times we've done it, gotten a very good response, so I want to continue with it. It is time for Agree or Disagree. And very simple this week, for Agree or Disagree is this. Who do you think has the strongest brand now? Who has a stronger brand? Is it Raw or is it SmackDown? Now, these are my thoughts. I want to see if you guys agree with me or if you disagree with me. If you disagree with me, that's fine. I'm not going to take it to heart, but I really want to know why. So here's my reasons why I think SmackDown Live has the strongest brand right now, stronger than Raw. Now, it's based solely on the additions made. It looks like SmackDown Live has a stronger brand in terms of talent. The women division gets a huge boost, adding Charlotte alone. It'll be interesting to see if they are actually going to use Tamina, or was she just kind of a boost for the Charlotte announcement. Now, the reason I bring up Tamina is because Tamina and Naomi going after the women's title would be a great story from a personal standpoint, being that they are family through marriage. Obviously, Naomi is the current SmackDown Women's Champion. She is family with Tamina through marriage. I can't remember which Uso brother to Naomi is married to, but that also can kind of give us a story to bridge off of that and maybe do something with Tamina. She's kind of never been on the radar, you know, but that doesn't necessarily mean she's bad. I think her most notable, you know, work that she's done with WWE came when she was in that small little stable with Sasha Banks and Naomi. Really didn't go anywhere from there, and she had some injuries. So I'm hoping to see if they were just going to make this announcement the way they did to kind of play off everyone thinking it was Charlotte when it was actually Tamina, or if they're actually going to do something. And if they want to do something, I think the best thing to do is try to figure out a story that will bring her and Naomi together to do battle over the women's title. Now for our male counterparts, we're going to hopefully see a lot of fresh things on SmackDown Live. The possibilities, like I said, are almost endless. You know, you have Kevin Owens now, who has a chance to work with the likes of Baron Corbin, and AJ Styles, which, like I said, will no doubt be good. While the addition of Miz Maurice and Bray Wyatt is a boost for Raw, the rest of the additions fall flat for me. While SmackDown Live seems to have things spread nicely between their main guys, the women's division, and the tag teams, New Day is obviously a huge boost for SmackDown Live, but the Shining Stars are vastly underrated, and I've been clamoring for months that they deserve more TV time. Hopefully they get that on SmackDown Live. So, like I said, the reason I say SmackDown Live has a stronger brand, stronger than Raw, is because of the way they spread out these new additions. Like I said, Miz Maurice and Bray Wyatt, those are huge additions to Raw. Those will do just fine, and obviously because of the Miz has been so good lately, obviously it's great for the Miz. But if you look at the rest of the additions that they made, it really isn't anything of note, whereas the additions that SmackDown has made, taking parts of Raw away, they've spread it nicely, that you can now develop stories with your main title picture, like I said, with Kevin Owens being there and AJ Styles still there on SmackDown. You can also do fun things with Charlotte there now, Tamina's there now, and Naomi's the women's champion. So obviously, and the thing is with Charlotte, that gives a boost to the women's division, because obviously before going back to WrestleMania, the SmackDown Women's Division match, I guess you could say, was just one big clusterfuck. They really didn't have any idea what to do with these women. But giving Charlotte that sort of stage where she doesn't have to worry about Bayley, she doesn't have to worry about Sasha Banks, who has some stronger points than Charlotte does. Now she's all on her own, the spotlight's on her. She can actually take over that division in one way or another, and kind of they can dictate everyone around Charlotte. So that's great for SmackDown. And that's why I think the SmackDown brand is stronger, because the additions that they have made wasn't necessarily just for the main event picture. It was spread out really nicely. We have something new for this main event, and then we have something new for the women's division, and then we have something new for the tag team division. So again, I think SmackDown has a stronger brand, but you may disagree with me. So if you do, please let me know, and I will let you know how you can get in touch with me at the end of this show. However, before we get to the end of the show, I want to plug in a special little segment here. I don't know if you guys have been checking out the Wrestling Chronicle, but last night I put up a teaser of a brand new podcast that will be coming to the Wrestling Chronicle that you can subscribe to on Stitcher and iTunes when those links go up, and is the new podcast called the Paper Crap Podcast. Now, this is a podcast that is going to be done with myself, and I have a co-host with me. He was sort of the brains behind the operation, Kyle G. He came to me, he says he has this idea for a new podcast that he wants to try out. I loved it, so we're going to go ahead and do it. The first episode will be going up on April 20th, but with this little segment where I brought Kyle on, we kind of go in depth about what kind of podcast the Paper Crap Podcast will be, and how you guys can get in on the fun and, you know, be really interactive with the show. So hopefully you guys do that. Just quick pause right here, and I'm going to bring in Kyle. So hold on 1 second. Hey guys, welcome back to the Pile Driver Podcast. A very special day, a very special time for me. I'm here to introduce a brand new project that I'll be helping along with. I'll be one half of the hosting duties for this brand new podcast. And to give you the details of this brand new podcast and what we're going to be doing, I brought along my buddy, who else is going to be helping me with the hosting duties. He is Kyle G. Kyle G, how you doing, bud?
Hey, you know what? It's just another day in paradise here, Eric, and I'm super excited to be in front of your listeners and tell them about our new podcast, which is going to be called Pay Per Crap. It's going to be a bi-weekly podcast that's going to review the worst pay-per-views in wrestling history. We're going to do a new episode every other Thursday. And the best part about the show, I think, is that the listeners are going to be able to select what we review. We're going to put up a poll. There's going to be four choices, and whatever wins that poll is what we're going to do on the show. The first poll should be up already as you're listening to this. So once you're done listening to the podcast, or if you can multitask, which I cannot, but I'm sure you can, go to @PayPerCrap on Twitter. And the poll will be pinned to the top of the page. And the first topic on the poll is going to be a topic that I think is going to run away with it, though I know Eric will disagree with me, and that is WCW New Blood Rising. This is the infamous pay-per-view that had Judy Bagwell on a pole. The Kiss Demon debuted, and Goldberg walked out. So I think the poll's already over. I think that this was the worst pay-per-view ever, and it's going to win. But I know Eric has topic number two, and he disagrees with me.
I do disagree with you. And maybe would have had the runaway winner if Judy Bagwell was a stripper on a pole. But
you know what?
You shouldn't have told me you just finished eating dinner. All right, you gotta know I'm gonna ruin it for you.
You know, see, this is why you guys have to listen to this podcast, because we got Judy Bagwell on a stripper pole apparently, and then apparently this is what wins. Eric's gonna rebook the show involving a naked Judy Bagwell.
Oh man, you don't want me to rebook the show.
So I guess that's what Eric's going to be doing. But anyway, moving past the Judy Bagwell, please tell us what is going to be topic number two, choice number two on the poll.
Topic number two. And the reason I chose this topic was because it was suggested to me. Someone thought it'd be a great idea to do a podcast episode on this pay-per-view specifically. And I thought that was a good idea. I just never got around to it until you showed up in my life and brought about this brilliant new idea, this brilliant new podcast, Paper Crap. And that second choice is December to Dismember. And that was sent over by my good friend Linda on Twitter, at SkyHighRollins_. She suggested this pay-per-view, and obviously, it's a brilliant idea to do it. It's almost like it was meant to be. Like it was destiny to do a review on December to Dismember. Now, if you guys don't remember, this is the famous, technically air quotes here, it's an ECW pay-per-view, but it was done by WWE. And here's the kickers. There were no hardcore matches on this show. How do you have no hardcore matches on an ECW show? I have no idea. The time frame of the show, it was just a little bit under 2 hours. So did the people really get their money's worth? I have no idea. And all about that, and then on top of that, the icing on the cake, all of the ECW original guys that kind of were advertised for this show to give it that old school ECW feel, well, those guys ended up getting squashed in every match against the WWE superstars. So let's just say, you know what, that's not a fun pay-per-view to go through, but for your enjoyment, we'll take the punishment.
Topic number three is the NWO sold-out pay-per-view of 1997.
Good one.
This is the first and only NWO pay-per-view where we have casual racism, Eric Bischoff making out with ugly women, and garbage trucks. Why don't you go straight to topic number four, because I don't want to hear about anybody else on a stripper pole.
Really? You don't?
I'm already getting queasy thinking about the Miss NWO pageant, which, go to Google, go to YouTube if you haven't seen the Miss NWO pageant, but again, check that out, and then maybe you'll want to vote for topic number three, but then again, maybe you won't, but NWO sold out is topic number three.
Or you can vote for topic number four, which features, it's WCW Slamboree 2000, by the way, that is topic number four, that's up for your voting. All right, it features the Ready to Rumble match. Also, Canyon taking a wicked bump off the top of a steel cage. Now, why is that not so good? Because it happened a few months after the tragic passing of Owen Hart in the exact same arena, the Kemper Arena. So let's just say WCW wasn't thinking too good, but also falling in line with the bad selection of women on these choices. We also have the on-screen sort of kind of debut of Sunny. And let's just say we all know how her career went.
And so that's it.
I'll leave it at that, because if you don't know how Sunny's career went, it didn't go so great.
Yeah.
She had to do a couple things that you shouldn't watch around children, let's just say.
All right. Anyway, bringing it back, you again, you're falling down a rabbit hole of women here.
Oh, I mean,
and
you gotta expect that if you want this to be successful.
I hear you. So there are your four choices. I can't see you. You just trust me.
I just frazzled you.
So,
but see,
anyway,
that's how things go on the Pile Driver podcast here. Those are your four choices. And I'm very thankful. First, I'm very thankful that, Kyle, you're entrusting me to kind of go on this venture with you. You could have probably reached out to anyone, and you kind of are satisfied with me. So I hope you know what you're getting yourself into.
I really don't think I do know what I'm getting myself into, but I think it's going to be a wild ride regardless. And if you want to take that ride with us, just follow us on Twitter, @PayPerCrap. Follow us on Instagram, @PayPerCrap. You can follow me personally on Twitter, @TheKyleG3. You can also follow me on Instagram, @TheKyleG3. And the poll is up now on Twitter, pinned to the top of the page. So go ahead and vote. Find our podcast, Paper Crap, on iTunes and Stitcher, and press that subscribe button. And let's get this party started.
All right. Well, again, Kyle, thank you for bringing me on board. Thank you for coming on the Pile Driver Podcast. We'll definitely have to have you on again to maybe talk about some more current stuff going on. So if you're available, maybe we can set that up.
So, hey, you know what? That sounds like a plan, my friend.
All right. Well, you guys heard where you can find Kyle. Make sure you guys hit the follow button on Twitter at PayPerCrap. You can also follow us on Instagram, where we'll have a couple cool photos up for every little poll that we do. Make sure you hit the follow button. Please subscribe. And also, please tell your friends, all your wrestling buddies on the internet, in a part of the internet wrestling community, let them know that this new podcast is coming out, and we'll see how you guys like it. So I'll be back after I wrap things up with Kyle here to do a couple social media plugs and say my goodbyes. Be right back.
Gentlemen, we got a taste of it a little earlier on here on Saturday night's main event when the madness met the mania. I am talking about Macho Madness and Hulkamania, two mega powers meeting here tonight. Hulk Hogan, what is happening?
Well, you know me, Gene, we really don't know what we're dealing with here, man. And I'm just kind of a little worried about walking up here.
It's all right.
Because we just might blow the whole planet up, you know. Everybody knows that Hulkamania is the strongest force in this universe. But when I hit that ring and I saw what the madness was all about, I realized there was a whole nother universe out there, a whole nother frontier, and the power of the madness and the mania just blew my 24-inch guns out, man.
You mean to tell me there is another solar system, Macho Man?
Unbelievable. I'm still in a state of shock right now.
In fact, I don't think the moon is coming down for a long period of time.
Yeah, reckless abandon is what it used to be, yeah.
But Elizabeth opened up my eyes, and the big man right here, the big man, yeah, he endorsed Macho Madness and he gave me direction, yeah. Reckless abandon used to be, but direction now with the mega, yeah, the mega, yeah, the mega powers, yeah. Mega powers, yeah. I feel the power now. I feel the power right there. Big man,
sure, I'm
looking
to hit over the head, Macho Man.
Oh, no, man. I'm all right.
I've never been better, yeah. Don't you worry about the hit over the head, man. I'm just worried about where we're going from here. Is it this stratosphere, man? Is it the ionosphere with the madness and the mania as one guiding force? We could go ahead and take the whole
I
WWE.
Cannot believe this.
No, man.
Tonight's main event, the Mega Powers,
power,
the Madness, Macho Man Randy Savage,
yeah,
and the heavyweight champion and Hulkamania.
Wow. Hey guys, welcome back to the Pile Driver Podcast. Again, if you guys can take the time and check out our new venture on the podcast, on the WrestlingChronicle.com, rather, check out the Pay Per Crap podcast. It'll be debuting April 20th. 420, a very special day, obviously, but it'll be debuting on April 20th, brand new podcast with me and my buddy Kyle G. We'll be reviewing the worst pay-per-views in wrestling history, and all those pay-per-views will be voted on by you. The first four choices are there. All you gotta do is go on Twitter. The Twitter is at PayPerCrap. Vote there once the poll is up. And then once we get the votes in, we'll be doing the show for you guys. Hopefully you guys enjoy it. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a lot of fun, and I hope you guys will join us there. So again, follow us on Twitter and Instagram at PayPerCrap. And then once we get the iTunes link, because obviously the podcast has to be approved by iTunes first, once we get that link up, it'll be posted so you guys can subscribe, you guys can review it once a new episode goes up, because obviously if you review it, that helps us out, lets us know how we can get better, and also helps us get more ears on the podcast. So once that link is up, obviously you'll be seeing it, but for now, to stay tuned on everything that's going on, go to at PayPerCrap and follow us on Twitter, and you'll get all the updates on that show. So shout out to my boy Kyle. Can't wait to get this going. Hope you guys enjoyed this show. Oh, before we end the show, what am I talking about? We actually have a question in our podcast mailbox. This coming in from our good buddy Steve Dawson, who you can follow on Twitter at Top Rope Elbow. And he had a question in regards to NXT. He said he wanted to know, can NXT still be seen as a developmental when all these established indie guys in their mid to late 30s are the ones making the most headlines. Rude, Austin Aries, Eric Young, Asuka, Samoa Joe, Nakamura, all in their mid-30s or older, are arguably some of the most popular names in NXT. Hell, even Balor is 35. And he is right when he mentions all those names and how their ages sort of maybe came into play. But here's the thing. When you say developmental, I think what most people think of when they think of developmental is learning the ropes. Almost sounds like learning the ropes of wrestling. Where WWE developmental, as you would call it, is different from other developmental, is that WWE, the only thing they're developing is getting these people ready for being on TV, in front of the cameras, in front of live TV, and doing what they do in front of sometimes 15,000 people, or if they do it on pay-per-view, maybe 25, depending on the event. But all it is that they use NXT to get these people ready to do it on a bigger stage. Now, obviously, with guys like Shinsuke Nakamura, I guess you could say maybe even on a smaller stage, Samoa Joe, you know, they really know how to work the camera. Obviously, Samoa Joe was one of the bigger name, probably the biggest name in TNA history, definitely one of their upper echelon as far as alumni. So he does have TV time, and he was a part of their main event scene for a long time. So he definitely knows his way around. Nakamura is a big star in Japan. He's definitely charismatic. He's one of those guys that you don't have to teach how to come across on screen. But with everyone else on NXT, no matter who they are, all the developmental part is teaching them how to work in front of a live TV audience, a massive live TV audience, a size that they're not used to, and also being able to do it for live TV, which a lot of those guys have not done or have done on a very, very small scale. And I say that because obviously everyone knows the story about Finn Balor when he first came to WWE, you know, how he was surprised. Even though he was a big star in Japan, he was just surprised how much he had to learn about performance in front of the cameras, and that how it was kind of a new experience. It's a new experience for anyone first coming into WWE. But the thing is, developmental, maybe in what you're thinking is, these people don't know how, they don't need to relearn how to work. Maybe there's some things that they need to learn in terms of working the WWE style of things, but not very much so, where they have to relearn everything they've known. The part that's maybe developmental is basically just getting them ready to work in front of TV cameras and work in front of a live audience. That's my take on it. Maybe you agree, maybe you disagree. Maybe that's another agree or disagree segment down the road. But again, thank you to Steve for sending out that question. And you guys can send me questions, comments, opinions, anything you want voiced on this podcast. If you want it voiced, all you have to do is send it to me. Okay, this is an interactive podcast where even though I'm the one that's hosting it, even though I am the one that's speaking, if you sent me something that you would like to add to the podcast, I will definitely do so, because I want to get as many voices, as many, I don't want to say knowledgeable, but as many informative voices, because obviously we know that some wrestling fans tend to be a little bit crazy. But if you have a valid, informative take on something that's going on in wrestling and you want to have it voiced, all you got to do is get in touch with me. Easiest way to do that is to reach out to me on social media. And the best way to do that is either to go to Facebook, Twitter, or Tumblr, or any of those other things. Or if you would like to send it to me via anonymous, you can do so by sending it via email. I'll spit out those links for you, but in case you don't catch it, in case I'm talking too fast, or you got something else going on the bottom of this post, obviously you'll see all the links there. You could just click on them, follow them, subscribe, or whatever. And then if you would like to get in touch with me, just shoot me a message on any of those platforms, and I'll gladly get back to you. The easiest way to do that is to reach me on Twitter. Follow me at WrestlingCron. That's where I do most of my talking about everything that's going on in the world of wrestling. That's where you get to my up-to-the-minute thoughts, obviously, and then you'll see a bunch of other things as far as what's going on with the website, and obviously what's going on with our new podcast coming April 20th, the Pay Per Cry podcast. So make sure you follow that account on Twitter as well. You can also send me a like on Facebook, facebook.com/The Wrestling Chronicle. And that's where we do a little bit of fun stuff. Obviously, we promote everything that's going on with the website, but we do things like On This Day and little fun facts, something different than what we usually do on Twitter. You can also follow us on Instagram. The username is The Wrestling Chronicle. I'll start being more active on there, I promise. But if you would like to get in touch with me anonymously, maybe go more in depth about something to do with wrestling, you can send me an email. The email address is piledriverpod@gmail.com. Shoot me an email there. We'll talk, we'll communicate. And again, it's all about getting your voice out there to get on this podcast, because this is a people's podcast. This is a interactive podcast. So again, if you're listening, if you're subscribed, if you're a longtime listener to the show, thank you so much. I'm definitely trying my best to get more content out to you guys. So anybody that has stuck with me since the beginning, I know I said this is episode 119. So if you have been a longtime listener, thank you, thank you, thank you. I appreciate all of you who listen. I appreciate everyone that has spread the word about the podcast, and everyone that's going to spread the word about Paper Crap who I have talked to. Thank you so much as well. I want all you guys to go ahead and follow that Twitter at Paper Crap, and make sure you subscribe to the podcast once the iTunes link goes up. You can listen to the teaser here on thewrestlingchronicle.com. It's a teaser that lets you know everything that's going on with the very first episode of Paper Crap, and how you guys are the voice behind Paper Crap, and how you, even if you haven't listened to it before, if you want to get in on the fun, we let you know how. All you got to do is go to WrestlingChronicle.com, listen to the teaser that we put up, and make sure you subscribe once the iTunes link goes up, so that way you never miss an episode of the Paper Crap Podcast. But once again, my name is Eric Vasquez. I'm the editor-in-chief of the website that brings you this podcast, TheWrestlingChronicle.com. This has been episode 119 of the Piledriver Podcast. Hope you guys have a wonderful rest of your day, week, month, whatever. Hopefully you guys are doing great out there. Positive vibe to everyone out there. So have a good weekend, guys.